Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Friday, January 5th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 24th of Tevet, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Happy New Year to all of you that are going by the Gregorian calendar. I definitely celebrated New Year's, but I won't skip an opportunity to celebrate. Now, let's get to the news. Iranians spent the day mourning after twin bombings killed at least 84 people with 280 plus people hurt. Apparently, a suitcase full of explosives detonated. The bombing took place at a memorial for the late Iranian general Qasem Soleimani. The big-time terror operator was assassinated 4 years ago. The Islamic State terror organization, also known as ISIS, claimed responsibility for this deadly attack that happened in a place called Kerman, Iran. And according to non-Israeli sources, of course, under the, quote, Zionist guidance. That reporting comes from the Tasnim News Agency, associated with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or the IGRC, which is the governing body of Iran. The agency stated that the Zionist regime, that means Israel, orchestrated the delayed ISIS statement, suggesting that the person behind the writing of the statement couldn't have been affiliated with ISIS due to differences in political language compared to the group's usual wording in their statements. U.S. officials, however, noted that the attack aligns with ISIS's modus operandi. The Tasnim News Agency is controlled by the RGC, by the IRGC, and often reflects its ideology. Now, that's a very brief version, but that's what we have here. We can go into it more in depth next week. Thousands attended the funeral of Saleh al-Arouri, a top Hamas terrorist killed in an alleged Israeli airstrike in Beirut. Mourners who showed up were calling for revenge and shouting slogans like "Bomb Tel Aviv." Arouri was a high-ranking member of Hamas and a founder of its military wing, yet he was in Lebanon when he was killed. The funeral procession featured Palestinian and Hamas flags, and participants are urging Hamas to avenge Arouri's death. Israel has not claimed responsibility for this airstrike. British lawyer Professor Malcolm Shaw KC is set to defend Israel against accusations of genocide in the International Court of Justice. The accusations were raised by South Africa. Shaw, a territorial disputes expert, will present Israel's defense, emphasizing his expertise in the law of genocide. The hearings are scheduled for January 12th, following South Africa's presentation on January 11th. The accusations are over Israel's actions during the conflict with Hamas in Gaza, with South Africa claiming Israel has a genocidal intent. Israel is a signatory to the Genocide Convention, making it subject to the ICJ's jurisdiction. Justice Minister Yariv Levin is criticizing the Israeli High Court for issuing two major rulings during the ongoing conflict. He argues it undermines national unity. The rulings include delaying a law shielding a prime minister, a sitting prime minister, from recusal and voiding a law limiting the court's use of reasonableness. We've talked a lot about what reasonableness is. It's exactly what it sounds like. That the court should be able to make certain decisions based on how reasonable or not reasonable they find something to be. And the issue with that is that something being reasonable is really subject to debate. Levin says a democratically elected prime minister should be replaced through a ballot, not a verdict, and calls for judicial reforms to establish a balance between government branches. Communication Minister Shlomo Kari and the Movement for Governability and Democracy also challenged the court's authority on some fundamental laws. Now, this is the crux of some of the issues of the Supreme Court in Israel having too much power, not enough power. This was what people were protesting about in the streets of Tel Aviv for 10 months before war broke out on October 7th. So we are starting to hear some murmurs of these issues coming back up and creeping back up again in Israeli society. And a lot of people are very concerned about what's going to happen next, being that the country is in such a vulnerable position going through war. What could possibly happen next in this judicial reform process? We'll keep you updated on that. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by heading over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute whatever feels good for you. Listener support is quite literally what helps me continue down this road of independent journalism so that I can do the work the way that I think it's meant to be done. And more than anything, I just want to thank all of you for your words of affirmation, your words, your comments, your posts on Facebook and on Instagram and in email. These are the words that get me into my recording chair and remind me about what I am doing and why it's so important. To make a one-time contribution to my special wartime coverage, which I take very seriously, you can just type my name into Google, Shanna Fold, and GoFundMe into Google. You'll find me right away, Shanna Fold, GoFundMe. I also have the link in the show notes. Thank you to our latest paid subscribers. If you have heard your name in previous episodes or you have sent a donation, please send me an email with your mailing address so that I can send you a thank you note. That's shannafold@gmail.com. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. I've recently sent out a batch of thank you notes and would love to send out more to all of you who have given contributions. So please do send your mailing address. Tamir Adar, a resident of Kibbutz Nir Oz, has been declared dead. He was first presumed kidnapped by Hamas during the October 7th attacks, but unfortunately, that was not exactly the case. He was actually killed on October 7th, and his dead body was taken into Gaza. Adar has been part of the kibbutz's emergency response squad, and he was killed while defending his community against terrorists. His grandmother, Yaffa Adar, was also captured on October 7th, but released during a ceasefire in late November. She is that older woman that was seen smiling on a golf cart while being driven away by Hamas terrorists. There was images of her everywhere. Adar was born and raised in Nir Oz, and this young man, he was in his late 30s, he is remembered for being a family man, an educator, and an emerging farmer. On the day of the attacks, he texted his wife and instructed her to take their two young kids into the safe room and hide there while he went out to confront terrorists on foot who had entered his kibbutz community. It is believed that 132 hostages, including a number of dead bodies, including Adar's, remain in Gaza today. Families of hostages, including Omer Wenkert, plan to protest at the Kerem Shalom border crossing on January 9th to address the lack of humanitarian aid for captives. Omer Wenkert, who suffers from colitis, emphasizes the goal is not to deny aid to Gaza civilians, but to pressure Israel to negotiate a deal withholding supplies until Hamas agrees to provide humanitarian aid to the hostages. Approximately 100 aid trucks are entering Gaza daily, down from the pre-October 7th average of 500 trucks per day. The remaining hostages who have been in Gaza since October 7th have not had even one visit from the Red Cross and are all without their medications, especially the older gentlemen and older women that need it so badly to stay alive. 29 University of Pennsylvania faculty members visited Israel on a solidarity tour, which began just a few days ago on January 2nd. It was a short trip. The visit was organized in the wake of the Israel-Hamas war that is underway. The professors had a tight schedule, meeting with President Isaac Herzog, touring communities in the South, and visiting universities. The trip aimed to show solidarity and support for Israel. Professor Michael Kahana, one of the organizers, emphasized that the visit was not primarily in response to campus anti-Semitism, but was driven by personal reasons and connections to Israel. The delegation's visit received positive reception and media attention. This comes on the heels of the university's president coming under fire in a congressional hearing where she simply could not make a statement saying that calling for the genocide of Jewish students on campus was against the school's code of conduct. And we're going to hear a couple words more about that in our little segment. And now for a Torah thought by Rabbi Yossi Madvig.
But I wanted to share with you that something I read today I found incredibly relevant to the situation both in Israel and in America. And that is in a book called Hayom Yom, which is a book of aphorisms compiled by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, that were said primarily by his father-in-law, who was the previous Rebbe. And there, the previous Rebbe says, quoting his father, the Rebbe Rishab, the fifth Chabad Rebbe, that he once declared that just like putting on tefillin, which are the black foxes that Jewish men wear during prayer, just as that is a scriptural commandment that's incumbent upon every Jew, regardless of whether he's a great Torah scholar or a simple person, so too, it is an absolute obligation for every Jew, and I would add every one, every person, to dedicate half an hour every day to thinking about his children's education, and to do everything in his power, and indeed more than what is in his power, to see to it that they follow the path in which they are to be guided. Now, this was said 120 years ago, and how much more so today, when we see in the academic institutions across America and around the world a rise in anti-Israel rhetoric and anti-Semitism. And just this week, the president of Harvard had to step down following the president of UPenn stepping down, given their very lackluster performance in front of the American Congress in their inability to denounce the rising anti-Semitism and harassment of Jews on their campuses. And so it is absolutely crucial that we should not take this lightly, and we should prepare. Even if we had a business meeting that was going to greatly impact our future career, we would prepare for hours, and we would be so concerned with it and think about it almost the whole day. And how much more so when it comes to educating children, both Jewishly and just not Jewishly, just to be normal, decent human beings, that we should give the same effort at least to something that is so crucial as our children's education, and not to pawn them off onto some institution where they may encounter ideas that are completely antithetical to what we as their parents want them to encounter, and as normal, decent human beings would want them to encounter. So I give everyone a blessing that they should be able to think clearly and deeply about the education of our children, and that we're teaching them good and wholesome things and raising them to be proud of who they are, proud of their heritage. Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Friday, January 5th, 2024. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. This Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldaily.news. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner, who put together a great 2023 reel for us. If you want to check out some of the highlights from the 2023 year, you can head over to Instagram or Facebook at israeldaily.news, and you can watch about 45 seconds of our work and our life in video from the year. I'm going to send you off now with a relaxing song called Day and Night by Jerusalem pianist Shalom David Crane. Enjoy this piece and have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and have a happy new year.